Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to talk about the market this morning. Mike Barker is on the line with us. He's a regular with us. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. Mike's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities to Linsco Private Ledger, a member of NASD and SIPC. And good morning, Mike. How are you?
Dave, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Okay, it's been an interesting week. In fact, I want to ask you all about the market, and I guess the key word seems to be volatility, something you mentioned last week, actually for the last couple of weeks, I think. But before I ask you about that, let me ask you about Mohawk. They've been in the news lately. We've seen some analysts talking about them, and it's been over the $100 a share level. What are your thoughts on the whole Mohawk movement here of late?
Well, I think there are three things to at least keep in your mind here if you're an investor in Mohawk or thinking about being an investor in Mohawk or what have you. And as I always say, Dave, when you ask me about an individual stock, folks do not need to read into what I am saying as an implication as to whether you should buy this stock or sell it or hold it or whatever you might want to do. If you try to read something into this, it's your mistake because there's no implications here, and I will not give specific advice on stocks on the show as far as individual stocks. So keep that in mind as we talk about this. But what I will try to do and hopefully can do, as we always try to do, is put some perspective on it, give some things to maybe think about, talk about maybe the context in which you want to look at some of these items or what have you. So that's what I'm trying to do here. So the three things I would look at with Mohawk is, number one, the fundamental picture. And in the fundamental picture, and believe me, I'm just scratching the surface here, but I think that what's going on in the housing market has to be looked at. It's arguable as to how much that matters and that sort of thing, so keep that in mind as well. But look at that to some degree. And also in the fundamental picture, look at their exposure to overseas markets, mainly with Unilin. And as folks may remember, and I'm speaking for myself here too, the surprise to me anyway with their last quarter earnings report was how well Unilin did and how much Unilin had a positive impact on earnings. So that has to be factored in. And the thing that's so important about that, I think, that a lot of people may be minimizing or missing, and I have to remind myself this, is, you know, it wasn't too many years ago that when you looked at a floor covering company and the floor covering business and industry, it was pretty much a U.S. issue.
Right.
You know, pretty much just the United States and maybe some Canada. But that is not the case nowadays with Mohawk as an example. So just keep that in mind. And, of course, earnings are coming up here later this month. Dave, I do not have the date right here in front of me.
I was thinking it was the 22nd, but it's a day either way, someplace in the early 20s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. So we'll just say later this month.
Let's go.
So keep that in mind, too. So that's kind of what you want to look at from a fundamental perspective. From a technical perspective, which I think is maybe more important here for the short term, is Mohawk has been in this range from right around 100, just slightly below that, to not quite up to the 105 area. And whether you're into technical analysis or not, as you know and listeners will know if they've listened to the show any at all over the years, is technical analysis is one of the things that I put a lot of weight on and goes into my model with a pretty big weighting. That's mainly overall market, but it works with individual stocks as well in some cases. And Mohawk's another good example of that. It's visited this between 100 and 105 level three times. And interesting things can happen when a stock tries to break out on the upside of a level, hitting it the fourth time. And we may get a shot at that fourth time here soon. And if we get that, I would not be surprised, just purely technicals we're talking here, I would not be surprised to see it break out a little bit, and it could get interesting if that can happen.
That's the technical picture.
Before
you get into that, let's just take a break here.
Okay, sure.
And I've got a question I want to ask you about that, too, when we come back. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to pause for some messages. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's on the line with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're looking at the market, and we're talking about Mohawk, and you were talking about the technicals, Mike, when I interrupted you.
That's okay. And it closed yesterday just above 101. So, again, that puts it right in that area between, say, 100 and 103, 105 or so, right in there. So it could get interesting in that stock if it can break out on the upside of this range. So that's just something you may want to keep in mind. The other thing you mentioned, and this is kind of the third leg of this thing that you may want to look at, is what are analysts doing? And as I've mentioned over the years on the show, I typically don't necessarily put a whole lot of stake in analyst upgrades, downgrades, all that sort of thing. But there are some analysts in the floor covering industry and covering Mohawk that I always say to folks, probably wouldn't hurt to keep an ear open as to what they think and say and whatever their rating is on the stock, what their rationale is, and that type thing. So that's the third thing. And back in May, Bank of America initiated coverage on Mohawk at a neutral. And I don't follow Bank of America analysts, so I'm not necessarily sure exactly what the details are behind that and what they mean by neutral. But you know, if you're in this stock and you want to know what the analysts are doing, you can go check that out. May 31st was, I think it's Stifel, Nicholas. Is that right, Dave?
That's exactly right.
Stifel, I think.
We had quite a debate over how to say that, I think.
Yeah. And there was an upgrade there from hold to buy. And if I'm not mistaken, that's John Baugh.
Exactly.
And you had John on the show a while back. And John, I don't mind saying this, John's one of those analysts that probably wouldn't hurt you to at least know what he is saying and what his line of thinking is. So, and John's been doing it for a long time, so I certainly would not automatically discount what he's thinking. I would at least consider it. And then I think it was Wednesday this week, Dave, if I'm not mistaken, Pali Research, and I may not be pronouncing that right, is P-A-L-I. I am not familiar with them at all, and I don't even know who that analyst is. And it may not matter that much because they initiated coverage and they're neutral. So that I'm not sure how you want to use that. But in that report, and if time's okay, Dave, I'll quote a couple of things here that the folks at that research firm said. And this is on the Internet if folks want to check it out. Quote, "We will admit up front that we like virtually everything about this company," again, talking about Mohawk, and continuing to quote, "from its outstanding position in the flooring industry and relatively low exposure to new housing to its dual growth strategy and talented management team," end quote. And then the second part of this, quote, "what we are less enamored of is its current equity price given the earnings stream slowdown and, quite frankly, its lack of controversy to give investors an intriguing entry point," end quote. So, the thing I think is interesting about that is they talk about how they like the company and they cite some reasons why and talk about some things that are relevant to consider, obviously. And, they mention a talented management team. And there's no question, I think, at least in my mind, what Jeff Lorberbaum and the team over there have been able to do over the last few years is reflected in that stock price, and it's just been pretty incredible. And as I've always said, if you wonder how well Mohawk has done stock-wise in the last, say, 5 to 7 years, just go to the Internet, punch up Mohawk, punch up the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, other type market barometers, and I think folks will be really surprised at how much outperformance Mohawk's been able to do. So anyway, just those are the things to know that are out there and look at. And, you know, if you're looking at Mohawk as an investment, keep those things in mind and go from there.
Okay. Let's take a break. And then I want to ask you one more question. In fact, my question was about what this Pally Research Organization had said, and I want to ask you maybe a little bit more about that when we come back. Let's take a short break here. We need to get some messages in. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Mike Barker on the line this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're looking at the market. We've been talking about Mohawk and some interesting information that came from an organization called Pally Research. That came out, I think, Wednesday. And as you had mentioned earlier, they said they basically like everything about the company, speaking about Mohawk. And they said they were less enamored with the current equity price given the earnings stream slowdown.
Right.
And then they said, quite frankly, they think it lacks controversy to give investors an intriguing entry point. What does that mean?
Yeah, good question, actually. When I saw that, I thought, now that's interesting. And by the way, Dave, I think I said this came out Wednesday. The timestamp I see on this is actually yesterday, Thursday, so just for what it's worth.
It may have come out Thursday morning.
Yeah. I'm just not sure. But anyway, the lack of controversy to give investors an intriguing entry point, and of course, you'd have to ask them exactly what they mean by that, but what I think they mean by that is some folks will look at Mohawk as a value-type stock, and what value-type investors like to see in a lot of cases is some sort of controversy with a company, obviously not something that's just horrible, but something that might be a short-term negative or something that has hit the stock and maybe drove it down farther than it might should be, that sort of thing. And it gets into valuation as well. A lot of times when a company has a problem or some controversy, the stock will go down to a level that gets overdone. And as we've said so many times over the years on the show, stocks, the market in general, they tend to move higher than maybe they should be when things are really good. But yet when things are bad, a lot of times a stock or the market itself will go a lot lower than it might should be, and then those are opportunities. And that's probably one of the things they're getting at there. And what's interesting about that is I'm not sure I totally agree with that. There may not be a headline controversy, but I do think, and it's just opinion, but I do think there are folks out there that are hesitant to look at a Mohawk with the problems in housing and what is going on in the mortgage market with consumers and what that may or may not do with floor covering purchases and things related to demand for that stuff. And that might be something that there's a certain investment group out, a certain group of investors out there that are staying out of Mohawk because of that. And if that's the case, if Mohawk's able to move on up from here, you may have a group of people out there that could generate demand for that stock, and then up you go. So I think there are plenty of reasons that if you wanted to be bearish on Mohawk or the industry itself, there's plenty of things out there you could cite, I think. And that to me, I'm not sure what they mean by controversy, but that to me, that is something out there that's probably keeping some investors out of this sector.
Well, that makes sense. And I've heard a lot of talk, and I think we talked about this briefly last week, a split in the stock now that it's up over 100. I know you must hear that as well. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's who knows what they're going to do, but I've never been enamored with splits. It's almost the pizza argument. You know, when they ask you if you want your pizza cut in 10 slices or 8, and folks will say, cut it in 8 because I can't eat 10 slices. it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You've got the same amount. And the thing that's interesting about splits is if we were back 6 or 7 years ago, I would not have been surprised back in that environment if Mohawk would have already split a time or two before it ever got even close to 100. But in today's environment, with so many of the much higher priced stocks doing as well as they are, I think there's some belief out there anyway that splitting a stock's not necessarily the best thing in the world. So I don't know. Will Mohawk split? I have no idea. But I do think the attractiveness of stock splits to companies is probably as low as it's been in a long time.
Well, there sure is a lot of conversation about it.
Oh, there is. And, you know, I know earnings are coming up here soon. And the other thing about Mohawk is if they were going to do that, you would think an earnings announcement would be a good time to announce such a thing. But, you know, it's people are asking it. I don't think people are privy to anything. I think people are just wondering since it's, you know, above 100. But as I said, who knows what will happen? I have no idea, but I just don't think the historical attractiveness to splits is anywhere close to now what it was back then.
I've
and
gotcha.
And incidentally, with earnings coming up, Dave, as I alluded to earlier, the thing that makes it so tricky with Mohawk is I still don't think that, and I say Mohawk, just floor covering in general, I still don't think demand in this country is good at all, and I still think it's pretty soft, pretty slow. But when you add that foreign element with what's going on in foreign economies and a lot of consumers in these foreign economies with just amazingly high savings rates but beginning to feel somewhat wealthy and much more able and willing to spend money, with Mohawk's exposure over there, it makes it tricky to try to get a feel for the earnings by just looking at this country.
I hear you. Let's pause here. I'm going to go back and change the subject. We're talking this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Mike Barker on the line with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're looking at the market. And I want to change the subject. We've been talking about Mohawk, which certainly has something to do with the housing market. But housing in general, we've been talking about for months. The National Association of Realtors, I think it was on Wednesday, trimmed their forecast for existing home sales for this year. That was, what, the third time they've done that, I think, of late. I may be wrong on that, but it's been several times anyway. They projected a modest rebound for the housing market next year. The market obviously is, I was going to say, getting worse, which I think it is. It's not getting any better, that's for sure. Now, you pegged this last fall. You continued to say that it has not yet hit bottom when a lot of other people out there have been saying just the opposite. I want to know what have you been looking at that a lot of these big name guys have not been looking at?
Well, I don't know what they're looking at, but I can talk a little bit about what we've looked at. And it goes back to any asset class, whether it's stocks, housing, condos, commodities, whatever it is, bonds, anything. There's a demand side and a supply side. And if demand is picking up, and supply is either constant or lessening, that's a scenario where you can get some pretty dramatic price increases in whatever assets you're talking about. And on the other hand, if supply is increasing while demand is declining, you can get in a scenario in a hurry where that particular asset class is going to have a hard time going up at all, and it's probably going to start declining and it's going to have a hard time bottoming. And that pretty much describes housing, I think, as we were predicting it back in the fall last year. And the other thing about that is anytime you analyze demand for an asset, you want to ask yourself, who is creating that demand and what is allowing that particular group to have the demand? and what's been going on in housing, it's almost been the perfect storm for it to go down. And that goes back to a lot of the availability of money. And it wasn't too many years ago that money was so cheap, and folks went out and either refinanced to cash out of their home or bought homes with very low interest rates, with adjustable rates. And we also did the work last year to tell us that there were going to be an historical amount of mortgages in 07 that were going to reset. And that just means they're going to reset to higher rates. And we just felt like with that coming, coupled with somewhat of an economic slowdown, which has also happened, that it was just going to create a big problem in the housing market, as so many folks would not be able to refinance, would have to sell their home, and all of a sudden the supply just absolutely just dwarfs the demand and just overwhelms it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. And I cannot explain why so many people were calling for the bottom in housing last year when these dynamics were going on. I still don't understand what they were seeing or thinking, but be that as it may, I still don't think we've seen the end of this. And what has been interesting is the effect on the economy, at least so far, has not been enough to derail the stock market. And right back to what we were talking about earlier, and this is another thing I think that has really put a different dynamic on the stock market and the economy itself, and corporate earnings, is so many businesses now have so much exposure to overseas economies. You can have a hiccup in this economy and it not necessarily hit things negatively at the level it might have in years past.
I got you. Let's pause here again for some messages, Mike. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Mike Barker on the line this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're looking at the market. We've been talking about housing. And one of the things I want to ask you, Mike, yesterday we saw a lot of the nation's retailers, larger retailers, report their sales for June. They were not stellar. The economy seems to be clipping along. I think the economy is creating jobs at the rate of 145,000 a month, somewhere in that range. Employment's, 4.5. I'm wondering what the connection is between retail sales and the housing slump. Obviously, the Home Depots and others, and obviously people spend money fixing their house up to sell it. People just buy a home, spend money on it. I understand that. But over and above and separate from that part, how closely related are retail sales to the housing market?
Well, I don't know the correlation statistics to it, but what I can maybe shed some light on is, and you'll get different opinions on this, by the way, so bear that in mind, but the dynamic with housing, I think, that has fueled the consumer over the last few years is not housing selling and buying as much as it is housing equity withdrawals. And what I'm getting at there is a lot of folks, not too many years ago, they never sold their home, but because home prices and home valuations went up so much, and let's just talk about a quick example. Let's say someone lives in a home that they bought for 6 or 7 years ago, or bought 6 or 7 years ago for, say, $200,000. Now, it's very possible that 2 years ago, that home was appraised at $280,000 to $300,000 to $250,000, who knows, but probably a substantial amount higher than the $200,000 they paid for it, say, 8 or 10 years ago. And what a lot of people did is they never sold their home and moved, but they did an equity withdrawal with an adjustable rate mortgage, and they took out cash and they spent that money on cars or floor covering or remodeling or a trip or whatever they did. And the connection, I think, that a lot of people are analyzing and trying to figure out, us included, is we don't think consumers will be able to do that at the levels they had done it a couple of 3 years ago, and how much impact will that have on consumer spending? And when you couple that with how gasoline prices have gone up and crude oil has gone up and all that, you start to ask yourself, okay, how able is the consumer going to be to continue to fuel the economy going forward? And the reason that's so difficult for us, and the reason it's so difficult for me to even read reports of folks predicting this, and I've said this on the show numerous times in the past, Dave, I have no ability to predict consumer spending. I've never been able to do it. I've tried to do it, and the track record's horrible. So it's a tricky thing, and we've had periods in the last couple of years where I was just about convinced that we would begin to get consumer spending numbers and retail sales numbers that would just be horrible, and next thing you know, we're getting numbers and they're pretty good. So it's a tricky thing, but to answer your question, I think it's a two-pronged thing. One is, if a lot of homes are being bought and sold, it generates certain types of consumer spending. But even if there aren't a lot of homes being bought and sold, when you have this equity withdrawal, cash out financing, cash out refinancing, whatever you want to call it, that can fuel consumer spending, and I think that's clearly slowing and has slowed a lot, and will continue to slow to some degree. Now, how much it matters, I wish I had the answer to that one.
I gotcha. Just briefly, let me ask you about the price of crude. It's up over $73, somewhere in that range. Any surprises there, and what are your expectations?
Well, I think it's like I said, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, I just don't see it moving up much from here. And this is kind of at the upper end of the range. And gas prices, interestingly, are not, they're actually lower than they were not too many weeks ago when crude oil was lower than it is now, if you follow me there. And crude's right at 72.50, I think, at the moment. And I think that's, you know, people are asking me, why is gas lower now than it was when crude was lower than this? And I think it's because, as we talked about a while back, refineries, while utilization rates are not off the chart on the upside, they have improved some. And I think the report I saw the other day said 2 to 3 percentage points higher utilization rates at refineries. And what that just basically means is there's more gas out there. And I think that explains to a large degree why gas prices aren't higher than folks might think, given where crude oil is. So all that said, I would be surprised if we saw gas prices go up much from here, and I'd be surprised if crude oil prices go up much from here. Now, the one caveat to that is we're getting a little bit closer to when hurricane season begins to get rolling typically. That is the wild card. Of course, with the overseas geopolitical event potential, as they call it, that's unpredictable, but the hurricane thing is looming out there, and that may make it difficult for gas or crude to drop a whole lot anytime soon, but I would be surprised if we move up much more from here.
I got you. Let's take one more break here, Mike. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management, and we're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking with Mike Barker this morning from Investment and Retirement Management, talking about the market. And it's mid-year. It's a time when a lot of people take another look at their 401ks. Any ideas at what might be a good thing to do when you're looking this time around?
Yeah, a few things. The first is, and this stuff depends on where you work, because different companies have different policies, but typically, a person can make 401k entry if they're eligible, and can do certain things with the 401k usually at the end of the year and maybe in the middle of the year. And since we're in the middle of the year, you may work at a company that allows you to do certain things this time of year. And the advice there is to, number one, see if that's the case. If you need to do some sort of changes or whatever, go ahead and get on with it. Don't wait until the last minute. So keep that in mind. And the reason that's important, if folks can do something they want to do mid-year and they miss it, in most cases where that's the way the company's set up, they're out of luck until the end of the year. So keep that in mind. And number two, especially with the nice performance in the market we've had so far this year, is look at your allocations. It's very possible that your equity portion may be a little bit higher than maybe you were comfortable with at the beginning of the year, just because the market's done reasonably well, and it might be a good time to rebalance, make some adjustments, you know, whatever you need to do. That also may be worth looking at, because it would not surprise me if a lot of the choices people have access to that are related to the bond market, they probably haven't done much this year, and in many cases could actually be down year to date, believe it or not. So if that's the case, coupled with the way the market's gone up, they may be a little more out of balance than they might think. So keep that in mind too. And then another thing, this isn't necessarily time sensitive to the middle of the year, but it's something I wanted to throw out there, because this came up in a meeting last week talking to some folks. You find a lot of people in companies that, you know, they talk to their fellow employees, maybe they talk to their boss or what have you, and the typical question is, what are you doing? You know, talking to one of their fellow employees, and while that's not necessarily a bad idea, just keep in mind what your boss is doing with his investments or her investments may not have anything to do with what you should be doing, for all kinds of reasons, age being one of them, risk tolerance, how other money is invested that has nothing to do with the 401k. So I see that a lot, and oftentimes, just as an example, it doesn't make much sense necessarily for a 25-year-old to invest the same way his or her boss may be investing, who's, say, 60. So yeah, just keep that in mind. That seems obvious, but for it to seem so obvious, I see a lot of people doing that, and it might not necessarily be the best idea.
I got you. We got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to make sure to ask you about the word volatility. Sometimes we've been talking about that for the last 3 or 4 weeks. You said that it might not be a bad idea to prepare for volatility. We've certainly been seeing that. We saw it yesterday, as a matter of fact, and several other days in the last couple of weeks. Are we going to see more volatility as we go forward?
Well, I think we are, and this is exactly what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, and it's happening just about exactly like we were expecting. Wednesday this week, I think we were down about 150 on the Dow. And you know, some of the media reports I saw that day, you would have thought the world was ending. And then here we are 2 days later, yesterday. Here we are, and by when I said Wednesday, Dave, it may have been Tuesday. I don't remember exactly. It's been a long week. But we had a day this week with the Dow down about 150. And then yesterday we're up 283, almost 300. And not a whole lot's changed, but this is volatility, and volatility works both ways. And with some things that are coming up next week and earnings coming up, I don't think we'll see this volatility go away probably for at least another, say, 3 to 4 weeks. And as I mentioned then, and I'll say it again, just as the day we were down 150 or so on the Dow, and we mentioned to not get too stressed out on down days like that. With a day like yesterday, you also don't want to necessarily get too happy and, you know, party time. So it's just so important, the way this market is going right now, with all the things that are in the mix out there that could move it either way, to keep the head on straight, so to speak, and just not get too excited either way on a daily basis with how this thing will probably go for a while.
So get ready for a couple of more weeks. Don't take it easy yet.
Yeah, well, you know, the volatility is going to be there, I think, and it could get pretty interesting both ways, and it's just keep the head on straight and keep an even keel, as they say.
I got you. We're going to have to leave it there, Mike. We're out of time. Always a pleasure having you on here. We'll talk to you in about a week unless something really bizarre happens on Wall Street, then I'm going to give you a call.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You too, Dave.
We've been talking with Mike Barger from Investment and Retirement Management, and you're listening to Floor Radio.